All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Wednesday, November 22nd. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head on over to the site and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NFL for the Thursday games, and really for any game as long as you sign up. And then for NBA as well, we have NHL-based projections going up there with our guy Chris working on those every single day. I think those are some of the best in the business. So go check it out. Free for 3 days and then just $34.95 a month. And you're all good to go. Buddy, you're traveling. You're not in your home spot.
I'm in a dirty jersey right now, Doug.
Dirty. I live in Jersey.
You don't live in the dirty part.
Good point. I've always heard people say that as a superlative, and I've never totally understood it. I think it's maybe just embracing something.
I think they're trying to take it back because they don't like the whole like armpit of America. You know, like when you grow up in New Jersey, as we both did, you hear a lot of nonsense about New Jersey. I mean, there's obviously disgusting parts of New Jersey without a question. But to be honest, I lived a lot of places now. There's disgusting places like in New York or Colorado. Like there's just disgusting places all over. So.
Yep. We get it. You lived a lot of places. All right. So we're going to get in talking about that 100%.
You want to talk about that? You were an orphan for like 20 years. Never mind. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Let's get to football.
Thanksgiving is most important to me this time of year for all that I'm thankful for. All right. So we're going to talk about the three. We're just going to do a quick 3-game breakdown of the Thursday games because Thursday Thanksgiving games are about as big a profile as the NFL gets. So they just kind of basically co-branded Thanksgiving into half the holiday with family and then the other half of the holiday just like having football on all day, or at least a lot of houses that celebrate, especially the ones that I go to. So we'll talk about that and then we'll kind of break it down game by game, see what kind of lineups you can put in for these three games. We have the 12 o'clock, the 4:30, and then the evening game, which is on usually like on the NFL Network. So the first game is the traditional Lions home game. Minnesota goes in to face the Lions. Minnesota is actually the favorite here, -3. They're coming off a big win last week against the Chargers at home. You know, they come in as a favorite here. We've had years and years of Detroit, this game being awful because Detroit usually sucks. This game, it does at least project to be close. Although, I mean, I guess Detroit's been a little bit better in the last couple of years. This game projects to be close. What kind of stands out to you from this game? You know, the Vikings running game kind of seems good / a question mark. I have some thoughts here, but I don't know. Is there anything that, you know, particular guys that you like from this game?
Well, yeah, on a high level for this slate here, it's kind of odd to have a 3-game slate where all the totals are nearly identical. So it's really just a question of going and trying to parse out what the real plays are. And I'm not sure how much action most people are going to pull from this game specifically, just because there are only a handful of good fantasy players on either of these teams. And of those good fantasy players, they're kind of expensive now, thanks to their good performances early in the season. I think if you're going to play any Vikings, probably the person people are going to look at most is Adam Thielen. Thielen's really just turned into like a pretty serious wide receiver one for fantasy purposes over the last couple of weeks. 10, 12, and 9 targets, a minimum of 98 yards and a touchdown in each of those weeks. So he's really, really producing, and it looks for all the world to be sustainable given the target share he's had over the whole course of the season, regardless of who's been the quarterback. So I think people will look at Thielen, but he's just kind of expensive now, right? I mean, 8,300, are we really projecting him out as an $8,300 receiver going forward?
Nah, probably not. That's getting up into that upper tier, and he's really close actually. The target share for him is pretty damn good, even with Diggs back. You like that Keenum stays the quarterback for now, at least for his purposes. I don't know if you're a Viking fan, if you want Keenum to continue to stay the quarterback, but for Thielen's purposes, you do want him to be, because he's really honed in him being the top target getter. He's really just cut in. He's actually also just cut into Diggs and probably even more Kyle Rudolph's performance as well. Like Rudolph has seen targets, but really not more than 7 a week over the last, I don't know, 5 weeks or something like that. So I think you're kind of caught in the middle. I think you're just kind of caught in the middle with all these Vikings receivers. It's really tough to pay up. And it's not a great, and the other thing too, it's just not a great matchup for Thielen either. Like the Detroit cover corners are pretty damn good. So I think you get caught in the middle here. I think you just get caught in the middle on the running game too. Like they just don't, they've basically split the carries between McKinnon and Murray right down the middle. They're both been pretty good, but their prices are
Murray's been slightly more effective. Murray's the goal line back. I think if you're trying to knock it out in a big tournament, Murray's a reasonable play, but for cash games, you can just do better in my opinion.
Right. So I think that's where I land. I wrote this up, but if Jordan Reed were to play for the Redskins, I probably would play Rudolph in the tight end spot. I think at the stands, we'll talk about the Redskins and Vernus Davis later, but I think that would be kind of the one place, and really also too, or as a pivot off of who I think Davis will be the kind of the chalk play. Rudolph has upside in him, if especially touchdown upside. He's second on the team in red zone targets right now. So I think you can go there. But if not for cash games, I think Davis will be the clearly the chalkier play as long as Reed isn't there. Mm-hmm. On the line side, for our article, I wrote up a Thanksgiving Day, just quick picks, a couple guys per position. And I did write up Stafford. I wrote him up more as a GPP play, mostly because I see them having to pass. The Stafford's upside to me lands mostly because the Lions can't run the ball at all. Right, like they're not gonna be able to run the ball. They haven't been able to run the ball all season.
They gave up. They ran the ball in the, or Abdullah got the ball just 11 times, two targets out of the backfield. He did get that receiving touchdown, but yeah, it's all Stafford right now.
Right. So if you think you're looking at something like, I don't know, high 30s pass attempts, which I think could be there, especially if they're losing. I think Stafford definitely has some upside. He's efficient enough. He has weapons at his disposal. You know, what do you think about Golden Tate? We were kind of high-ish going in on Marvin Jones and then last week, and then we kind of flipped it a little bit to Golden Tate, and the targets just really weren't there at all for him. Do you still see him as in that upper middle tier group? I mean, I guess like the Adam Thielen group, a little bit lower probably in terms of price, but of guys that we can kind of project close to double-digit targets out of? It hasn't completely been there. It's vacillated enough that it makes me a little worried.
Yeah, Tate went down to four targets last week, which is obviously pretty troubling. He's actually a whole thousand less than Thielen right now. Thielen's price went up by about 500 and Tate's went down by 400. So you're getting him at a discount right now. The four targets looked like an outlier to me. He had been pretty steady in that 7, 8, 9 range before that. It is obviously a concern that Jones's target share is kind of maintained as Tate's has slipped. And keep in mind, too, that they got Galladay back. So Galladay went in there and he didn't take many targets, but just taking those three in each of the last two games, you know, that those two targets do come from somewhere. So yeah, Tate, I'm a little less high on Tate than I had been. I think on a small slate, you might just want to do it anyway. I think he sort of has, like for instance, Eric Ebron went out there and had seven targets last week. I don't think that maintains. So if we can spread those four targets back around and, you know, most of those go to Tate since he's kind of the possession guy, I think you could see a bounce back game out of him here.
For sure. And like I said before, just targeting any wide receiver in this game is going to be tough just because of the secondaries. Darius Slay there for the Lions, Xavier Rhodes for the Vikings. And they have a couple like Terrence Newman for the Vikings. So sorry for the Lions. I'm getting confused with these guys. I just think overall you're just in a tough spot fantasy wise. I think that's why you see the totals be pretty low across the board for this game, even though, you know, it's inside and it's in Detroit or whatever, because I just don't know. The defenses seem like they're going to be the ones that take center stage in this game. All right, let's go on to the 4:30 game. Chargers go in and face the Cowboys. I'm showing no line in this game, but I think there is. Let's start with the Chargers side of the ball. I wrote up Melvin.
That's why.
Pick them. Okay. Never mind. I thought it was just showing zero in my feed here because they didn't have it. But okay, it's a pick them right now. 48 total, so 24 implied points on either side of that ball. I did write up Melvin Gordon as probably the guy that you want to target in terms of running back, just really for the entire slate. Dallas has struggled to stop the run this season. Do you think that Gordon ends up becoming like maybe the chalkiest, at least running back play, just considering some of the other names that are going out there?
Probably. It's also really tough to spend up at running back, and you've seen a trend of, you know, people spending up at one of the running back slots basically all season long, even when it's a suboptimal situation, like say Kareem Hunt last week. Gordon goes out there, gets 20 carries for 80 yards and a touch against Buffalo. He was relatively highly owned then, so I suspect on a slate with just three games, you can't play any running backs from the Minnesota-Detroit game. You could say something close to that for the Giants-Redskins game. I mean, we'll talk about Pirine in a second, but he's the only like legitimate RB1 on the whole slate. And beyond that, he's got easily the most safety for my money on a points per dollar basis here, just given his typical workload. So yeah, I think Gordon will be super highly owned and it's probably correct.
Yeah, probably something like 80 to 90% in cash games would be my guess just for this three game slate. Dallas does get hurt without having Sean Lee there in the middle linebacker slot. That really has seemed to affect them. And he's not going to be back again this week. So it really, the usage and everything else is lining up really well for Gordon. And those touches last week he got, remember, and this is the same, I was going to say this for Keenan Allen as well, because we wrote him up, I wrote him up for the wide receiver, is that a lot, all this usage came in like three quarters, basically. They didn't even play the fourth quarter. They were just content to just have the backups go in there. So no one got hurt because they were just blowing the doors off the Bills. So yeah, Gordon's going to be a very high play. I mean, Keenan Allen, he was a guy that we've liked a lot going into the season. We were kind of down on him for a couple weeks just because of some matchups. And then we didn't really bring his projection probably all the way back to where we had had it during the early part of the season. That was probably a mistake, just because it was factoring in too much of a recent performance based on some game scripty stuff plus the matchup. So for cash games, at least missed out on what was basically a GPP winning performance last week. Are you comfortable throwing him back into like the 10, 11 target range for going forward on Allen? Or is that like being a little too bullish?
It might be being slightly bullish if you go up to 11, but the plan all season long has been to get him involved in a double target or double digit target basis. And if you kind of look at the game scripts, there's a lot of weirdness kind of in the middle. And, you know, it always sounds like excuse making because there's just so few football games that, you know, I'm saying like, well, it was a weird four game stretch for him there. Like if you think about baseball or basketball and the kind of swings players go through in those sports, even with in like basketball, you have relatively consistent opportunity as compared to football, then I think you can explain it pretty reasonably. I mean, Jacksonville and Denver both been excellent against the pass this season. The New England, yeah, that was kind of his bad. But then before that, 9, 12, 11, 9, 10, 10 targets. Like he's just a double digit target guy when things are going reasonably well. And in a game that, you know, Vegas has as a pick 'em right now, I think it stands to reason that he'll be involved as always.
Yeah, so I think those are the guys you can target. Maybe a GPP flyer on Rivers if you think that he steps up a little bit. I didn't mind Mike Williams. Mike Williams, the rookie, is finally, it was hurt near the start of the season, has finally started working his way into the fold. He took the third most snaps of any wide receiver on the Chargers last week, ahead of Travis Benjamin. So if you think that he's back in, if he's going to be slotting himself into that wide receiver three mold, he's very cheap on DraftKings, like something like 3,000. I don't mind taking a flyer on him there, especially as like a, it's kind of just like a pivot off of some of these other big receivers that he does have some pedigree. And I think they do want to get him involved mostly as a downfield guy. So Williams, interesting GPP target on the Dallas side of the ball. I mean, can we trust Alfred Morris in cash games? Is he getting enough? Do you think he sees enough carries here? Like is the total enough? He's playing at home. It looks like he's the running back. He was okay-ish last week and he actually got a lot of carries even when they were losing by a lot. So what do you think of Alfred Morris here?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird game for Morris. Rod Smith was named the starter. He goes out there and gets just 8 carries, but he did wind up out snapping Morris. And I think some of that was just because Dallas was getting blown out. Morris actually didn't see a lot of carries in the fourth quarter there. So I think Morris is the plan. Smith was also just so completely ineffective with 8 carries for 11 yards, where Morris averaged 5.3 yards per carry. So I would be really surprised if they didn't lean on Morris just because not only was he more effective on his runs, they gave him more runs last week. Obviously, it's never too thrilling to take a guy in something like a timeshare. But yeah, again, Smith was just so bad. And there were even game script considerations that led him to getting those carries. So I think we see Morris for, you know, potentially 20 plus carries, and he probably will rightfully be a chalk start today.
Dak really struggled last week against the Eagles. Was bad. I mean, the whole team struggled. He had his by far worst game of the season. Yeah. He went 8 for 31, 145 yards, scored 1.8 fantasy points. Just a complete garbage performance. Do you think that will? One, are you worried about Dak here? Like, you know, no Elliott. This is a second game without no Elliott, and there basically is two of his three lowest fantasy performances of the season without Zeke there. Do you think that is a trend that you just don't want to buy? Well, the thing is, you're not even buying low on him. He's like still the most expensive quarterback. Do you think the price plus the clear context of not having, you know, arguably the best running back in all football on his team opening things up, do you think that's just affecting Dak to the point where he's just unplayable at these prices?
I mean, he's been terrible the last couple of weeks, so I don't, and I mean, and 3 of the last 4 weeks too, frankly. So whatever's going on, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott, whether it's just something going on with him personally, I don't see any reason to play Prescott in this game over a guy like Cousins, who, you know, is almost the same price with a higher total, who's been more effective recently. So nope, I'm not going to play Dak.
All right, hit us up with a sponsor, and then we'll get to the 8:30 game.
Yeah, our friends at Fantasy Factor are actually doing a Fantasy Factor Thanksgiving squares. So just like your Super Bowl squares, you can head on over there and check out the contest. You know, try to figure out what is it—the number of the points for each team at the end of the quarters. You know how the squares things work. So head on over to
the Super Bowl squares.
Exactly, Super Bowl squares, but for Thanksgiving. So yeah, head on over to FantasyFactor.com and check that out. It's a great offer. It's $1,000 giveaway. Obviously, it's a very limited time, just because it's just for the holidays, and it's also just a great way to get a little sweat for the holidays without having to sit down and like grind out lineups and worry about injury news while your wife slash kids or grandma or whoever is like, why is Doug in the other room still looking at his computer? Because Doug can say, it's work, I have to work, you know, somebody's got to work, but you don't get to say that if you're listening to this podcast. So just play the Thanksgiving squares and get your sweat that way.
All right, last game is the 8:30 game. Giants go in and take on the Redskins. Giants coming off, a completely unbelievable win against the Chiefs last week. I'm laughing because the two games where I basically wanted the Giants to be bad in two games this season. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to be really bad in Denver when I was in my Survivor pool, that's right. And that was my last play, and we played Denver as huge favorites, and Giants go out and win. And I wanted them to be bad last week when we basically stacked we didn't read at the very end, but it was basically stacking Smith, Hunt, and Kelsey together, specifically Kelsey and Hunt. And then Kelsey was good, but Giants end up winning.
Giants buckled down a gritty performance by their defense.
Well, it's mostly Alex Smith. Alex Smith was so bad. The coaching, some of the play calls, and Alex Smith, just like the throws that he made, were basically the story there. And Giants looked scrappy, I guess, a little bit, but it was more.
There was wind and stuff too. There was reasons why things were tricky there.
For sure. So they go in. They are 7.5-point underdogs to the Redskins. We'll start on the Giants side of the ball. Sterling Shepard still dealing with migraine headaches. He did not. He practiced a little bit on Monday, and then the note was that he didn't practice at all yesterday. It's a troubling thing when headaches are bothering you for this many days in a row, I would say, because this extends back to last Friday, and if he's still not able to practice, and it really looks like he's going to be doubtful. Today will tell the tale on Shepard. I think if he feels okay today and plays in practice, I think he'll play on Thursday. If he doesn't play today, I very much think that his status is in doubt. So that's some injury news that we're going to probably need to wait for. Other guys to consider here, Orleans Darkwa it's funny because his carries have actually been great, and they've been kind of not mattering how the Giants were playing, because they've gotten completely blown out in some of these games, and he's still seen like 15 carries. Do you think if game script doesn't seem to be the issue with Darkwa, and it really doesn't, like he's going to get 14 to 16 carries, whether they're losing by 30 or kind of going to overtime, do you think at his price point he becomes I kind of have him as a borderline cash play?
Yeah, I think borderline cash play is probably the right way to label him. It's basically you're going to be looking at him heads up versus Alfred Morris. It's just hard to spend up on this slate in general without kind of maybe overpaying for guys like Thielen or even Allen. So if you go like, say, Darkwa plus Morris, then that's kind of what you need to do. And that's a possibility. I think Dark was at least a little bit interesting. I guess the reason I would lean Morris is they just seem to have, the Dallas Cowboys just seem to have a better team overall, and they have a more proven track record with the running game specifically this season. And the Giants being 7.5-point underdogs, I get that the price is kind of reasonable on Darkwa, but you'd have to think that any running back is simply just going to be more effective if their team is up. And so for that reason, I think I would lean Morris in that cheap slot. But if there's a good lineup out there that has both of them, then I think you run with it.
Yeah, I like Darkwa a little bit more on DraftKings. I think he's cheaper over there than Morris, and he's also involved in the passing game as well. He has at least two catches in, I think, five games.
Yeah, that
helps a lot. So, in terms of PPR, I think I would probably value him just a little bit for a little bit cheaper than Morris, and then just because of some of that usage in the passing game. Evan Engram is a guy that we've targeted in the past. He's starting to get a little bit expensive. I think I'd probably just take Vernon Davis over him straight up. It's very close, though. If Reed was out and you had a choice between, I mean, I guess for the price, so I guess you're really not discussing it too much. But what do you think of Engram if Shepard weren't to play?
Yeah, well, one of the big things that everyone was trying to figure out last week was where Shepard's targets were going to go. And the answer wound up being, who the hell knows? I mean, if you look at the guys who got targets on the Giants last week, let's see here. 10 Giants got targets last week, three of whom only got one target. Engram got the 6 targets, turned it into just one reception. The passing game just seems totally out of sorts now with their top 2 wide receivers not playing. And it just seems like they can't get a handle on their reads. You know, teams can stack Engram. I think Engram is a lot more interesting as a fantasy tight end when he's like the third option and the other team has to kind of sag off him and respect the other passing options. But it looked like the Chiefs last week were like, you want to beat us with Roger Lewis or Tavares King? Be my guest, dude. You know, and the Giants weren't, I mean, they, I guess, ultimately were able to beat them with those guys, but not because of anything they did in the passing game. So unfortunately, I think we just don't really have any good knowledge as to what kind of opportunities opened up for these Giants receivers. And it doesn't seem to have been a benefit to Engram whatsoever. So yeah, I would prefer other tight ends on the slate, I think.
Yep. I totally agree. I mean, you can take a cheap flyer on a guy like Lewis. He has had a couple catches, caught a touchdown. Tavares King, you can take flyers on these guys, but you can't trust any of their performances. The team that most people are going to want to play here is going to be the Redskins. Redskins are -7.5 favorites at home. They are going to be without Terrell Pryor. He's on the IR. Obviously, Rob Kelly and Chris Thompson are both done for the season as well. Their player pool is greatly thinned out. I did write up Cousins as the clear cash game play. I think that he's going to be – he'll probably just be the chalk play as well, considering he's less than Dak. I take that back. On DraftKings, actually, he's more than Dak, 7,100. I'd still take Cousins in the spot just because it's just I just think he's the most proven commodity with the best matchup. After that, though, Pirine is going to at least handle first and second down duties. They signed Byron Marshall to – it looks like Byron Marshall is going to take over some of the Chris Thompson usage. I was kind of hoping it would be all Pirine, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Do you think he's safe enough in cash? He's cheap on DraftKings, only 5,000, and on FanDuel, I had it right in front of me and I lost it. A little bit more expensive at 7,600. Do you think the carries are going to be such for him that he can be trusted at this price? It's a pretty high price point, but do you think we can trust him for cash gameplay on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, totally cash game viable for my money. I think, yeah, the price is there, but again, if we're comparing him to other options on the slate, I think that this side of Melvin Gordon, he's probably got the safest opportunity and the safest game script in all likelihood, with Washington being really the only significant favorite on the slate. Now, of course, the Giants, pooped all over that plan. I don't want to swear on the podcast here, Doug, but they sure did when people ran Kareem Hunt out there last week. So, maybe the Giants are turning a corner, but you also have to think that on 3 days rest, an already somewhat bad Giants defense isn't going to have quite the same pep in their step. And I think for that reason, Pirine, I wouldn't be talking about him on a 10-game slate on a Sunday main slate or something, but on a 3-game slate with such bad options elsewhere, yeah, sure, he's definitely in play.
I think Vernon Davis is going to be a near 100% play in cash games. If Jordan Reed sits out, he's just still coming very cheap against the Giants, who the Giants have been the very worst in the league at defending tight ends. Kelce was actually the first guy all season, a tight end that did not catch a touchdown against them, although he still had a huge game. It wasn't for lack of trying on the touchdown end of his thing. He they tried to have him throw for a touchdown. He did. They ran a trick play at one point where he threw. It was like a screen that he threw. He actually ended up throwing an interception on, which I thought was pretty hilarious. So, they were trying to get him to at least if the tight end can catch a touchdown, at least maybe throw a touchdown was kind of their plan, but it didn't work out. But I do think Davis will be the chalk play, just against this Giants defense. What are your thoughts here on the Redskins wide receiver core? Crowder was a guy we were high on. He was looking pretty mediocre for the last, pretty much the entire game. And the last drive of the game for the Saints, right before overtime, for the Redskins against the Saints, really kind of brought him up. He had something like 3 catches for 40 yards on the final drive. And he ended up right around double digit targets. Do you trust him as just a possession guy going into this game for cash games, or is the price starting to climb too high for a guy that was kind of non-existent for the first half?
No, I like Crowder. I mean, he had a bad matchup against New Orleans, as you pointed out, going into last week. And the reason people were running him was because the price was simply too cheap at 5,400 with a guy who had 24 targets in the prior 2 weeks. So the fact that he only lost 3 targets in such a bad matchup and still turned that into 7 catches for 72 yards leads me to believe that in a much better matchup with the New York Giants secondary, that he'll turn that around. And I suspect he'll be highly owned, and rightfully so. I think he's just a great play this week.
Yep, agreed. And the last guy I had there was Doxson. Doxson has seen his targets increase, with Pryor not being there. They lost lost someone else in the passing game as well. He's a guy they've wanted to get the ball to, especially downfield, and that started to happen a little bit more last week. So I think you can take a shot on him. I wouldn't probably do it for cash games, I don't think, just because I don't think the target share is going to be there. I think Crowder and Davis are
Crowder too. Doxson, it's crazy.
Yeah, you can't do that. I don't think. I think you need to take this, at least for cash games. Need to take the safety, easy pivot to GBPs, because I think he does have some downfield stuff. And the Giants secondary is not ranked all that well this year for guys like Jenkins that were supposed to come in as just elite cover cornerbacks. Like they're at least their Pro Football Focus rating for this season is pretty low. All right. We're going to get out of here. Enjoy the Thanksgiving, everybody. I know we will be watching football all day. We'll be in the chat room. So if you have questions leading into the Thursday games, I'll be there answering some questions before I head out for the holiday. DFSR.com/NFL will get you started with a free 3-day trial. Free for 3 days, $34.95 a month after that. Go check it out. Put in some lineups for Thanksgiving. Put in some lineups for week 12. We'll be back again on Friday doing a game-by-game breakdown of the rest of the games for Sunday. And if you're into NBA, we have our NBA podcast going up today. And Friday as well. We're doing that 3 days a week. So go check that out. That's the DFSR NBA podcast. You can get that over on iTunes. Buddy, enjoy your holiday, and I will talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. Meat is murder. Just kidding.